Welcome to the All-in-One podcast for middle school language arts teachers. I'm Linda, and I've been a teacher for over 30 years. I can help you with tips, tricks, and motivation that will simplify your planning, streamline your teaching, and enjoy more free time. Hey there, it's Linda. I hope all is going well in your world. If you are listening in real time, you know that it is the beginning of April and it is National Poetry Month, which is what we're going to be talking about today. But I do hope that if you are on your spring break, that you are enjoying it. And if you are returning from spring break, I understand that the struggle is real. April is an incredibly busy time for teachers. There's a lot going on. State testing is upon you. The kids have been in the same routine all year and are experiencing spring fever, and it becomes increasingly difficult to maintain their attention. I have always believed that ending your year with poetry is the way to go for many reasons. One being because it is a lot easier, in my opinion, and kids become much more engaged. And when you're reading and writing poetry, they're usually shorter assignments and they're not as high stakes as, say, as reading a novel or writing an essay. So I'm hoping that this podcast series has been helpful. And today what we're going to do is talk about poetry analysis. Before I begin, I would like to make sure that I tell you something really exciting, and that is that I just started my YouTube channel. And I was thinking, hey, I'll start a YouTube channel, it'll be great. Well, it was a lot harder than I thought. However, it's brand new, and I do have some episodes up, but the concept behind it is called Teach My Class. And that's exactly what I'll be doing. So I will be putting up lessons that you can open up, project for your kids, and sit back and take a breather while I teach your class. I'm also going to be including First Chapter Friday, where I will be picking my favorite middle school novels and reading the first chapter, because I know that that was something that I did in my classroom. It really exposed kids to a lot of books that they might not know about and got them really interested. But teaching 5 classes in one day, which many of you are doing, and reading the same chapter 5 times, let's face it, it gets to be tiring and it gets to be a drag by the end of the day. So you can pop that on and, like I said, sit back and take a breather while I do the work for you. So I will be sure to link that in my show notes. But let's get into poetry analysis. And I want to make sure that you also know that I always include at least one freebie. I do have 2 that I will be talking about today that will help you with poetry analysis. And I'll be sure to link that in the show notes as well. Okay, so I might be in the minority here, but I absolutely love teaching poetry. I especially love having kids write poems because I get to know my students on a deeper and more meaningful level. One of the steps of becoming a good poet is to becoming a good reader of poetry. However, many middle school kids don't know where to start. Therefore, you need a good plan of action for poetry analysis. And the key really is to just keep it simple. So we're going to talk about doing this in 4 easy and manageable steps. So step 1 is to start with songs. If you want to get kids into poetry, starting with a song is a way to go. Once your students realize that songs are poems, they will be much more likely to buy in. You really want to start with songs that are currently popular. And I love having music playing when kids come in because it sets the tone of the class. But I do want to be a little more specific here. When I have songs playing, I really get into it with them. You know, as they come in, they hear that music blasting, and it's kind of what I was known for in my school, as disrupting my entire hallway, but it was all good. And, you know, I would be dancing around, and I had a tambourine, I had maracas, and the kids would be horrified, so to speak, but they really secretly loved when I did that. You know, it's like a parent embarrassing their kid. And so if you're putting your energy into it and you're really excited that there's a song playing, kids are going to come into your class and be really enthusiastic. If you have a song playing and you're sitting at your desk and you're, you know, kind of just doing your own thing, then the song is not going to create any excitement. So do your best with your own style to really get into it. Pick songs that you like, that you think would be meaningful for your kids, and go from there. I've used songs that kids love, like Believer by Imagine Dragons. And I remember one of them saying to me, "How do you know cool songs?" You know, meaning that the child actually probably thought I crawled out from under a rock that day and had no clue as to what was going on. But they really do get impressed with you when you're playing music that they can relate to. And I have played songs that they, I'm going to use the word hate, even though they don't really hate them, but they know. And one of them that comes to mind is "We Don't Talk About Bruno," right? So very silly song, obviously a juvenile song, but you know what? They all knew the song and they were all singing along. And then they're asking later in the week, "Can we listen to We Don't Talk About Bruno again?" And you know what? This song does have a lot of poetic devices in it. So whatever you pick, it really is all good. It's all in your presentation of it. Some of the favorites that I've used are Firework by Katy Perry, which is really good for metaphor and sensory images. Love Story by Taylor Swift. If you're teaching illusion, that's a really good one to use. I Am a Rock by Simon and Garfunkel. And I'm not trying to date myself here, but I will tell you that kids really did get into it because I was excited about it. And obviously that one is really good for metaphor. And Don't Stop Believing, great for sensory images. And by the way, when I played Don't Stop Believing, it came to my attention that the kids really think that this is a song for their generation, like it symbolizes their generation. And I had to remind them that as a child of the 80s, that it's my song, not theirs. And I told them so. And, you know, we laughed about it and whatever. But this list of songs, I could really go on forever with it. The key is to just take whatever is popular with your kids or has heard a lot in pop culture, or expose them to something that you love and have them kind of see it through your eyes. Okay? Step two, you want to do poetry analysis in small steps. Poetry analysis is likely on the newer side to kids when they enter middle school. And even your eighth graders might not have had good, tangible experiences in poetry analysis. So it's important to take it in small steps. I like to use the anticipatory set time, which is, you know, your do now time, and just that very beginning of class when kids are first coming in, when you have something for them to do right away. And it's really used as a time to get kids' feet wet for any topic that you're teaching. And you can work this out in many ways, but I personally found putting questions on Google Classroom to be really fast and beneficial. And when I say questions, I mean using the question feature of Google Classroom. I do have a blog post on that and how to use it if you're interested. I will link that in the show notes. But if you don't have this feature or you don't want to learn a new feature, and believe me, I get it, but honestly, it's so simple. You can just put a question on the board and have kids write a response in their notebook, or it's also fun to have them put it on a post-it and kind of post it up underneath of the question. And here are some ideas on how to get started. These questions are meant to get kids more personally involved in poetry. So you could write on the board, "Scribe doing homework using hyperbole," right? And then you could have kids respond to that. And that is a topic that will get kids emotionally charged up, which is what you want to do. And it'll make it personal for them. And it will really help them understand the concept of hyperbole. Of course, you can have kids listen to a song like we just talked about as they're coming in. And then you can simply ask them to write one poetic device that they heard while they were listening. You could give kids a poem and maybe just give them one stanza or one piece of it and have them describe it in one word. Okay, so you see where I'm going with this. It's something very quick and simple, but really powerful. So if you do need more ideas, I have a free resource with a bunch of poetry discussion questions. It's 2 weeks worth. And if you're interested in that, I will be sure to link that in the show notes for you. Step three, give kids a specific poetry analysis sheet or, you know, paper or activity page, whatever you want to call it. So like we have been saying, a great way to start is to take a popular song. Then, as a class, talk briefly about who wrote the poem and when, because sometimes you do need historical context. Read it through or listen to it just to hear it one time. Don't analyze it on the first round. So that's why I really like having that song playing in the background, because that's their time to just kind of listen and enjoy it when they come in the room. You can briefly talk about the tone. How does it make you feel? Use words like hopeful, dark, jovial, etc. Okay. Is there a structure to it or is it free form? You want to look for repetition. And you want to search for poetic devices such as metaphor, similes, personification, hyperbole, onomatopoeia, and things like that. Kids are really going to benefit from having a place to record this, to kind of jot down their notes. And if you need help, make sure that you grab my free poetry analysis activity. Honestly, it can be used with any poem and any song. It's going to save you a lot of time. It's very simple, but it's very effective. I do include an example for kids to refer to and some brief definitions of some of the more popular poetic devices. Step four, have an open-ended discussion on poetry analysis. So it's so important to make time to discuss. It doesn't have to be super long or involved, but you could try some of these conversation starters will work with any song or poem. First, why do you think the poet wrote this poem? What is one feeling that comes to mind when you hear this poem? Which poetic device did you find to be the most impactful? If you could ask the poet one question, what would it be? If the poet was a friend of yours, what do you think would be different about the poem? So whatever you do and whatever you choose and whatever prompt you're going to be utilizing, you want to keep it lively and fast-paced. Kids need to see poetry as something to look forward to. Okay, so that is it. I hope that it was helpful to have four simple streamlined steps. Again, they were start with songs, go in small steps, use a poetry analysis sheet, and have a discussion. Be sure to tune in next week when we will be talking about some of my favorite songs and poems to use and how you can use them. I hope that you will join me. Thank you so much and have a good week. I hope this information was helpful. Be sure to check the links that I mentioned in the show notes. My email is available there as well in case you have questions or comments. You can also DM me on Instagram at allinonemiddleschool. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.